Cooperative supports public broadcasting X88.7 KXNM.
Hello, this is Gail at KXNM X88.7 FM. Thank you for joining us for our spotlight. Today we're here with Circe Wessner of Museum of the American Military Family. Circe, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks, Gail. It's great to be here. I'm so excited to be able to talk about our museum.
Well, I'm excited too, and we're glad to have you. Circe, when did you start the museum?
So the museum started, the idea for the museum started in 2010. My son was deployed to Iraq, and I, like every other mother in America and around the world, was sitting in the living room watching TV and wondering and hoping and praying that my kid was going to be okay. And in a flash, I thought, you know, that's what us military moms from all generations and eras have in common. Countless families, and not just the moms, but the spouses and the kids and anybody else who loves a service member, have sat and worried and hoped and prayed that their kid would come home safely. Mm-hmm. And so generations of military families have gone through this. And so I kind of wondered who was telling our stories, who's telling the side of the families. And so what I did is I went on Google, just like everybody else in the 21st century, and I said, I wonder if there's a museum out there telling our stories. So I typed in military mom museum and military, you know, family museum, and nothing came up. So I thought, I'll start one. And so that's kind of how we started. So in 2011, we got incorporated and started the nonprofit venture. And so we're now, you know, one of the kind museum in the country.
Uh-huh. That's fascinating. And you're right. Family members are often just behind the scenes. We don't give a thought to them while, you know, their kids or their husbands or whomever are out there on the front lines. Circe, what is it that makes the museum unique, would you say?
So of course, one of the things is that we're the only one that we know of that's telling the, you know, the history. And we're specifically to telling the stories and the history through the eyes and the lens of the family. So that's very unique because my husband was in combat, but I was living his combat through my own experiences. So we try to do that a lot.
Sure.
Another thing that makes us unique is that we do provide free programming to the community. We're out here in the East Mountains. People don't know about us, so you know, we're unique to New Mexico, and then we're also extremely unique to Tijeras. We offer everything free of charge, and we have free admission, and we depend on donations. So all of that makes us unique.
Absolutely. And I have been to the museum, and I was really impressed. So anybody who has not been there, I encourage you to go and check it out.
Thank you.
Absolutely. What will visitors see when they come, Circe?
So we have 8 separate exhibit spaces. So we are actually in Molly's house. So those of you who know Molly's bar, we're in Molly's house. And so we have 8 different rooms or spaces that have very different themes. So a visitor coming will have an exhibit in the living room all about home life, about the military spouses and the brats. Then we also have an exhibit on loss and letting go. Another one on addiction and recovery. You know, that's a huge problem in the United States, and the military family is not unique. And so we do discuss addiction and recovery through the lens, again, of the military perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have rotating exhibits in our gallery. And so right now we have GI Jokes.
And what is that?
That's all about a somewhat lighthearted look at military humor. And coming up later on this fall, we're going to be doing a GI Christmas Carol, which is based on a story that one of our board members wrote. He was a Korean War veteran, and he celebrated Christmas in the hospital in Japan.
Mm.
So I don't want to give too much away, but it's really going to be a nice exhibit.
Wow, interesting perspectives mm-hmm. that people don't often get to view. So,
I wanted to mention,
yes,
I forgot.
No, go.
But we also are a special collections library. So we have about 1,500 books, DVDs, documents, folios of firsthand stories in our library. People cannot check them out, but they can come and sit and do research. We're a research destination. People come from all over the country to work on master's programs or do research for books, or they call me up and ask me something, or they'll peruse one of our blogs and get information from the blogs and use that in their doctoral or master's programs and things like that. And we also have, people don't know this, two beautiful garden spots.
Really?
Yeah, we've got the Victory Garden and the Memory Garden. We've built a labyrinth in the Memory Garden.
Interesting, and what a great resource for people if they're not aware of it.
Yeah, we're
they should certainly take advantage of
a community hub. We're trying to become a community
hub. Good for you. What a great service. What are some of the things you're most proud of?
Well, I'm going to brag a little.
Do it. It's your turn.
So, the museum, of course, has been made possible by so many people contributing time, energy, donated items. You know, we are a repository for people's memories and lively, you know, lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
We've received 3 national awards. So in 2018, we received the American Association for State and Local History's Albert B. Corey Prize, which is given at the discretion of the Historic Foundation. This year, we followed up with an Excellence in Leadership Award.
Fabulous.
And then last year, one of our videos got the National Press Women's Honorable Mention. It took first place in New Mexico.
That's wonderful.
So all of that was done through, like I said, all these people just pulling together. We're a very small board, and we're pulling together and achieving national, you know, fame. So also we've received many grants, and so we just found out a couple of weeks ago, Senator Heinrich's office called and said, congratulations on your grants, and I was...
You didn't know you have grants yet.
Well, I didn't know, I had no idea, because we've applied for many, but you know, you never know, you get them until you get an email or a letter from them, but anyway, the Senator's office reached out and said, we've gotten a National Endowment for the Humanities grant for a substantial amount of money to do preservation of our collections.
Oh, wow, that's great. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And that is really important because it acknowledges that we have a collection of national significance.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're really proud that finally people in, you know, higher places are recognizing that the work we're doing has national significance.
And of course it does.
Another couple of things we're proud of is we do naturalization ceremonies at the museum. People get their citizenship there. So service members, spouses, veterans have gotten their citizenship. And we do one a quarter, roughly. So we're just getting ready to have another one in September. And it's a huge, important day for these people. And we're so happy to be able to host them and, you know, be part of their wonderful day. Other things we do is we contribute to other museums and historic societies for programs. So we just were approached by the West Baton Rouge Museum, and they said, hey, we saw something of yours online. Could we use this in our exhibit? So we're being reached out to, and we are so happy to help other organizations with their projects.
Terrific.
And we do publish books, so we've done 4 anthologies in the last 3 years.
Wow, that's amazing. What dedication.
Mm-hmm.
And before we close, we'll let our listeners know how to reach you and find out about upcoming mm-hmm. events and what's mm-hmm. going on. So I see you have a lot to be proud of. What would you say is the hardest thing about running a museum?
Well, none of us came from a museum background. We all were mm-hmm. federal employees, military brats, spouses, veterans. So just learning how to be a museum mm-hmm. was a hard thing, but it was something we took very seriously because we need to be able to preserve the collection properly.
Mm-hmm.
People donate items to us, silk, photographs, letters, their fathers, dog tags. We have so many diverse artifacts that we have to preserve the collection properly. And so we actually volunteered to take what they call a collections assessment.
What is that?
Well, it's called the CAP program, and so an archivist came in. We received a grant to do this, so an archivist came in and spent 3 or 4 days assessing our collection. So she looked at all the different items we have and the material. She looked at the quality of where we're keeping them. She looked at how the temperature is and all sorts of things, and lighting. And then she wrote a very thorough report. And of course, we knew we weren't going to do super duper because we are, you know, a fledgling museum.
Right.
But we can use that information. And she did. She pointed out a lot of good things we're doing, but she did point out that we need air conditioning.
I wouldn't think of that. I've never had a museum.
No, you need to have climate control.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, and you need to keep things in a kind of a sterile, sterile state.
Mm-hmm.
And so she gave all of these different things that we should do a better job.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, now the National Endowment for the Humanities is giving us money towards that goal, because
terrific.
Ultimately we want to be a nationally accredited museum.
Uh-huh.
So other hard things are besides preserving the collection, people have given us their heart. So we can't be, laissez-faire about
yeah.
it. You know, you don't want to call somebody and say, well, your dad's whatever got destroyed because we were careless.
Oh, that would be awful.
Yeah, so that's one thing. We want to preserve the collection properly.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is getting visitors in the door. People who come to the museum love it, but many people don't know about us still, even though we've been at our present location for almost 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the other couple of things, and I know you know this from running businesses and,
mm-hmm.
Volunteering places and finding engaged volunteers and board members.
Very challenging.
Yeah. People really want to help us. And if people want to volunteer or join our board, we'd love to have more people, because it is not my museum.
Mm-hmm.
It is a collection of people all pulling together to make this museum go to the next level.
Right, it's a collaborative endeavor.
It is. And of course, there's always the dreaded fundraising.
Of course. Necessary evil.
Yeah, but as a nonprofit, we don't have a steady stream of funds coming
sure.
in. So we're constantly fundraising, writing grants, asking different businesses to sponsor us. So that's hard. It's also rewarding, and it's kind of, fun to get to meet all these different people and, talk about the museum, but it's hard work.
Sure. And I can tell it's a labor of love. I look in your eyes and you're talking to me and I see the passion.
It started as a project, but it has become a calling.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. And I hope some of our listeners who weren't aware of it will come and check it out and maybe volunteer a little bit of time or whatever resources mm-hmm. they have to
mm-hmm.
offer.
Mm-hmm.
So what does the future look like for you in the museum? What are your next goals, Susie?
So one of our main goals, we have two goals for this year, and one is to affiliate with the university because of the substantive collection, and it's so diverse. We have artifacts from Africa that are almost 70 years old,
wow.
and we have documents going back to World War I and letters going back to World War I, and then we have artifacts from military installations that are no longer there. So the diversity of it and the richness and the importance, especially of all of the folios of memories, make us think that we really should be affiliated with the university and become part of their collection,
uh-huh.
possibly.
Uh-huh, that makes sense.
And then the other big goal we have is we really do need to find an appropriate location that's a more modern building. Like I said, the climate control is an issue. And it's not healthy for the collection, but it's also not much fun for the volunteers to sit there when it's 97 in Tehran.
Oh, right. I hear you.
And but also, we're not ADA compliant completely.
Okay.
And so many of our visitors come, and there's one room for sure that they cannot access because there are stairs. And there's not enough room to make a ramp. The slope would be too much, so that locks them out of one room for sure, and
mm-hmm.
then the gift shop, which is less important. But
it would be nice for people to come and get a glimpse of everything you have to offer.
Right, but it's so that's what we need to think about, is a better location that's modern with ADA compliant rooms.
Sure, it certainly is a worthy proposition, and I hope that happens sooner than later. Susie, how do people find you? Give us some information that our readers can reach out for more info and learn how to get there and
mm-hmm.
see what you got.
So we are at 546 B State Highway, 333. That's old 66. Mm-hmm. We're right next to Molly's bar, so you can't miss us. We're actually, like I said before, in Molly's house, which is fun because it's a great location because, you know, we're having book club in her living room. We are opening her kitchen cabinets. And, you know, her son, Romeo, was a veteran. So I know Molly is looking down upon us, and she's smiling. And Romeo, who has passed on, also, you know, happy that the house is being used for this purpose.
Yeah.
So our website is www.militaryfamilymuseum.org. And our phone number is 505-504-6830. And if people want to look for us on Facebook, I never can remember the address exactly. But it's Museum of the American Military Family and Learning Center. And if you put that big long name into the Facebook search, you will find us. And if you want to know more about the museum, of course the website is good, but we update the Facebook all the time. You'll see our programs, our, you know, photographs, parts of our collections. We're very much involved in keeping the Facebook up to date.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 11 blogs. So if you want to look at any of our blogs, you go to the museum website, and down at the bottom it says blogs, and you can click on them. We have different themes of blogs.
Okay, what about hours? Do you have set hours, or should people call you? Because I know you're a busy lady.
Yeah. So we are closed Thursdays and Fridays. We are open Saturday through Wednesday from 10:30 to 5.
Okay.
But because we are so small, if there's an off-site event that and we just don't have coverage for the museum, we may be closed, and we hate to do that. But so we recommend that you do call ahead, 505-504-6830. You can also email me and, you know, just query us. My email is militaryfamilymuseum@comcast.net. And I always love to hear from people. I'm glad that you're interested in our museum. It is really taking a village to build this museum.
I'm sure it is. And knowing you and the museum, I encourage people again to reach out, to go visit. There's so much more than anyone could ever imagine in that location.
Yeah, we're cram-packed. 5,000 square feet.
So again, Susie Wessner, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. It was great having you here. And again, this is Gail at KXNM, X88.7 FM. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
X88.7.